amen. Not just the words of my mouth, but I want my life to be a praise to Him. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles, if you remain standing a little bit longer. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm so excited because after church today, we've got a baptism service. Brother Harry will be baptized in the lovely name of Jesus. Praise God for that. And then on Friday night, I was at a wedding and I was sitting having dinner with somebody on Friday night. And I've been praying for this person, talking for a long time. He said, Pastor, I'm ready to get baptized. And so we arranged to baptize him next Sunday. So if you've been getting ready to get baptized, God's been speaking to you about baptism, you've been putting it off, well, there is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 and verse 29. This is David. David goes out onto the battlefield. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why have you come down hither? What are you doing? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Aren't you meant to be looking after those sheep, David? Who did you leave the sheep with? I know thy pride, David. This is big brother speaking. And the naughtiness of thine heart. For you have come down that you might see the battle. You've come to have a sticky beak. You've come down to watch the fight. He said, you've come down. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I don't care what you're going to say about me. I don't care what you think about me, whether you think I'm a naughty boy, whatever you think, whether you think I'm prideful. He said, but I know there's a battle going on. And there's Goliath over there shouting all sorts of obscenities to the people of God. And David says, is there not a cause? He was about the cause. Everyone say the cause. David was a man after God's own heart. God had a passion for us so much that he died for us on the cross. It was his passion. And David also had a passion. He was living for a cause. Acts chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. What was his passion? The cross. He rose again. The Bible says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus's passion, although it was a terrible thing, the cross, his passion was for you and I. There's a movie about the crucifixion called The Passion of the Christ. But the cross was not his passion because he could see beyond the cross. And he could see lost souls. He could see you and I. And when he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. That was his passion. He was about the cause. And David was a passionate man as well. They tried to dishearten him. He said, is there not a cause? And so today I want to do part two. If you missed out on the 9:15 service, go watch that one. It's in the archives. This is part two of our Sunday service. I want to speak on this. Passionate about our purpose. Passionate about our purpose. Can we say those four words together? Passionate about our purpose. Lord God, we pray you'd bless the word today. As we open it, Lord God, let your word reprove, rebuke, instruct in righteousness, Lord. Inspire us, Lord God, to be passionate about the purpose. The reason that we are here on earth, the reason that we are saved. Lord God, put a burning desire in our hearts. Put a burden on our hearts, Lord, for lost souls. That, Lord, we would be passionate about our purpose and the cause which you have called us to. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Passionate. Passionate about our purpose. Every single one of us have a purpose. If you have been saved, God has called you for a purpose. Now, let me make sure I settle this at the very beginning. The purpose of us being saved is not to come to church on a Sunday and to warm that pew for a couple of hours. That is not our purpose. Coming to church is an important part of our Christian walk, just like going to the petrol station is an important part of the car. Keep going. You got to come to the petrol station. Coming to church is an important part of our life, but it is not our purpose. As I spoke in the first part in the 9:15 service, our purpose of being here on earth is that we would reach out to lost souls. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you today that the bottom line is lost souls. The reason that this church stands here in Chifley, in Canberra, is not so we just have a comfortable place so we can come sing some songs and hear a word from the Bible. The reason that we are here is to be a lighthouse for lost souls. I'm talking today about being passionate about our purpose. When you talk to somebody, it doesn't take long before you find out what they're passionate about. You start talking about people, they'll start talking about the things that they love and the things that they are passionate about. People like to talk about things that they are passionate about. And it was like that with Jesus. In fact, he gave us a trilogy of stories in Luke chapter 15 about his passion. He wanted us to understand his passion when he told us about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. He told us because the people of that day were saying, what's Jesus doing? Eating with sinners. What's he doing being with sinners? And he wanted them to know that his passion was for the lost. His passion was for the lost. And so he told the story about the shepherd who would leave the 99 to go and find the one. The reason why he told that is because many people would think, you know what? 99's a lot. Cut your losses. You only lost one. You still got the 99. But Jesus was intent on making sure they understood that if there's one lost soul, he said, the shepherd would go after that lost soul. And let me tell you, sometimes the greatest problem we can have in church is when we think that we are successful. We think that the church is, we're getting, seeing more people come to church. Let me tell you, I'm not satisfied with the 99 if there's still a lost soul in this city of Canberra. In 9:15, I talked about a headline because in Canberra, they've been talking recently about the amount of people that are getting lost in the mountains. The amount of people that are going into the mountains bushwalking and they're not prepared. And the ACT government was talking about how much money it's costing them to send helicopters and ambulances and search crews to go and find lost people. And so they are working on preparing people, educating people so they can be prepared to go into the mountains hiking. And the headline in the Canberra Weekly said this, "The bush capital is a beautiful place, except if you are lost." It is a beautiful place, except if you are lost. And I thought, because that headline in that newspaper really hit me in the heart. And that is the reason that we are here in Canberra. Canberra is a beautiful place, except if you are a lost soul. Amen. And it is our job as a church. It is our purpose as Christians. This is the reason that we are called to tell of the hope that is in us, to tell people our testimony, to tell people the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. People need to hear about Jesus. That is our purpose, and we must become a people that are passionate about our purpose. And so Jesus told us about the 99, leaving the 99 to find the one. Then he told us about the lady who had 10 coins, who turned her house upside down to find the one lost coin. And then he told us the parable of the prodigal son. Now, it's important to understand that this trilogy of stories in Luke 15, the sheep was lost because sheep have a tendency to get lost. They're going to wander off. By a mistake, maybe ignorance, something like that. The coin was lost by a mistake. But even the lost son left of his own accord. He went on his own accord. And the scripture is there that Jesus cares not just about the one in the 100, not just about the one in 10. Jesus cares about the one in 2. He is passionate about lost souls. He came and to seek and to save the lost. And we ought to be passionate about this purpose. I've come to remind everybody here today, this is the sort of message that I pray it's going to stir your heart to remind you that you have been saved for a purpose, to get a burden again for somebody in your workplace, one of your colleagues, one of your school friends, or some, maybe even your neighbor, to pray and say, God, if you would open up a door that I can share the gospel with them. Many in the medical profession and across other areas of society are pointing to a rise in selfishness. Everybody say selfishness. Some people are saying that the Western world is experiencing a narcissism epidemic, an epidemic of narcissistic, selfish people. The world, like never before, seems to be engrossed in what? Themselves. The Bible even says in the last days, people will be lover of themselves rather than lovers of God. And so we're seeing an epidemic of narcissism. People like never before are so engrossed in themselves. This excessive admiration of themselves and in love with themselves. A lifestyle that is in pursuit of anything. What's in it for me? What can I get? What are the benefits for me? And that spirit of narcissism started in heaven with an egotistical angel named Lucifer. Because of his pride, he had an attitude that said, what's in it for me? He fell. And Isaiah chapter 14, and you can read it when you get a chance. Isaiah 14 tells us five things that led to Satan's fall. Satan was not about us. He was not about we. Satan was all about me. He was all about I. In Isaiah chapter 14, you can read this. He said, I will ascend into heaven. He said, I'm going to take over the throne of heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He said, I want more, 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 more. He eventually said, I will exalt myself above God. And we are seeing that people are passionate about some things today. And sadly, they're passionate about themselves. They're passionate about what's in it for them. They're passionate about what they can get. There is a narcissism epidemic in the world. But let me tell you, our purpose and our passion must be lost souls, church. Our purpose and passion must be lost souls. Last Sunday here in Canberra, we have a hospital on the north side. In Canberra, we had two major hospitals, one on the north side and one on the south side, Calvary Hospital. And last Sunday, and I just have to scratch my head, last Sunday the workers were at Calvary Hospital working. Since when do construction workers work on Sunday? But they decided that Sunday would be a great day to take down the cross. People cheered and they were so happy to see the cross like it was some offensive sign. No, you don't even have to be a Christian to think this. But if it wasn't for them, Calvary Hospital, we would have had a hospital on the north side. Now it's become some terrible thing. What on earth were they thinking, having a church-based, religious-based hospital? And so they took that cross down. Let me tell you, everywhere in the world, they're taking the cross down. Everywhere in the world, they're stopping prayer. Let me tell you, people aren't going to hear the gospel unless they hear it from you and I. We are carriers of the cross. Jesus died for us. He died in our place. We are the hands and feet of Jesus to tell people in this lost and dying world that there is a hope, and the hope is in Jesus Christ. I've come to stir you today that you would be passionate about your purpose, that we would be passionate about souls, that we'd be like David and say, is there not a cause? Sometimes Christians can be our own enemies. Why are you so passionate about? Why do you keep telling people about Jesus? Why are you so excited about Jesus? Turn to them and say what David said, Shanice. Say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I'm passionate about something. Brother Snyder, isn't there a cause? And they may say whatever you want. They said to David, they said, you're just a little boy. You're naughty. You just come to watch. He said, no, I am passionate about a cause. And so I've come to remind us today that every great person or every great movement found a cause bigger than themselves. We must be about a cause bigger and beyond ourselves. You see, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to learn to be a servant of all. They attach, great people attach themselves to causes, and the cause is what birthed greatness in their lives. You think of some of the great people that have walked on planet Earth. We can think of lots of great people. For instance, Mother Teresa. What made her great? She attached herself to a cause and she became passionate about it. You see, we got to attach ourselves to the greatest cause, and that is to reach lost souls. People don't become great because they want to be great. People become great because they got passionate about a cause. It was the challenge before them that transformed them from someone who was mediocre to somebody that had greatness in their life. I tell you, let's get passionate about our purpose. If you walk out of this church on a Sunday morning, maybe you've seen it before, but right above the doors, you're going to see some words written, "Go make disciples." What is the purpose of this church? The purpose is not to have great singing, and we've got great singing. The purpose is not to have preaching. The purpose is not to have great fellowship. We have great fellowship. The purpose is to be a shining light in this dark world, to preach the gospel to every creature, to go and make disciples, to tell people of the hope that is in us. That is our purpose. And I believe in the end time. I believe that we are in the end time harvest. And God isn't going to use lukewarm Christians. Everybody say lukewarm. He's not going to use lukewarm Christians who are willing to just come sit in church on a Sunday. But we've got to be willing to become passionate about our purpose. God is looking to use people who are on fire with a passion. Who are on fire. The Bible says He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I want to be on fire for God. I want to be a person that says, God, not my will, but thine be done. You see, God would rather have one person, one man, one woman who is passionately dedicated than thousands of people who are burdenless. God said, just give me one. Give me one passionate person. Give me one person. I don't care about the thousands who have no burden. I don't care about the thousands who have no passion. Just give me one. It's the power of one. Will somebody stand up today and say, I want to be passionate about the purpose of God? You see, you want to be meaningful. Everybody wants to be meaningful. But passion is the fire that ignites the meaningfulness in our lives. You don't become meaningful until you become passionate. Everybody say passionate. You see, passion moves ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You can be an ordinary person if you get a passion. It's like David. David, we're still talking about David all these years later because he decided to go down to the battlefield. He decided to grab 5 stones. Everybody else said, I can't take that giant. We're too scared. David was just an ordinary young boy. His brothers called him a naughty boy. His brother said, haven't you got something better to do? He was an ordinary boy who had a passion, who became extraordinary. You see, when you become passionate, you become an extraordinary person in the kingdom of God. Don't put yourself down. Don't think I'm a nobody. Let me tell you, if God has saved you, let me tell you, He has called you and He has a purpose for your life. And there are people in your life. There are family members. There are colleagues. There are people at school. God has called you to reach them. Let's be passionate about our purpose. Somebody say amen. Being passionate about our purpose. Passionate. You can have as much talent and education as you want. You can be eloquent in your communication. You can have position and you can have prestige. You can have all of the excellencies. God can even save you and give you a powerful testimony. But if you want to be complete in your Christian walk, you've got to have a passion. A passion for your purpose. We cannot allow, you see, our lives are meant to be put on the sacrificial altar to say, God, here is my life. I want you to use me. You see, I want the fire to fall and to consume my life. I don't want to be an unconsumed offering to God. An unconsumed offering is worthless and unacceptable. God, consume me with a passion for the lost. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He said, if you're going to come after me, you have to be consumed with a passion. It can't be about you. It can't be about what you want to get out of life. It can't be about a narcissistic sort of agenda. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Jesus was saying, unless you can follow something outside of yourself, you are not a follower of me. True disciples are followers of Jesus Christ, yes, but true disciples will have a burden and a passion for the lost. You see, the cause of the church, the purpose of the church, our cause, brothers and sisters, remember this illustration. Our cause is to hold on to truth with one hand. We don't buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hold on to truth with one hand and reach for lost souls with the other. Hallelujah. We're not going to reach the lost by compromising the truth. Many people have thought, you know what? If we would just compromise the truth of God's word, we can reach more souls. Let's just water down God's word. Let's just take some scriptures out of the Bible that make us feel uncomfortable. No, our responsibility is to hold on to truth with one hand and with the other hand to reach out to a lost and dying world. I'm here to tell you, church, we got to be passionate about our purpose. Young people, we got to be passionate about our purpose. Older people, we're to be passionate about our purpose, and that is souls. I want to tell you about a man that inspired me greatly, and some of you may know this man. I got to meet this man. His name is Pastor John Henwood. I don't take time to talk about people like this, but he is an inspiration. You'll see some pictures up there. He was a missionary to the Aboriginals right out in the center of Australia before there was any housing or anything. They just lived in little bark huts, bits of tin. You see, the light's a bit bad there, but you can see a picture of my dad there in the bottom left. That's my dad when he's probably about in his 30s with Pastor John Henwood. You can see him there. Thank you for dipping those lights. In 1979... Pastor John Henwood was in Alice Springs. He was just a member of the church, just an ordinary member. And two Warpri men. Warpri is a tribe about 500 Ks northwest of Alice Springs, in the middle of nowhere. Two Warpri men came all the way to Alice Springs, to the church there, and they said, "Please send someone to preach to us." There was no community. They were just a bunch of people living in the desert, with whatever they could to make a house in the Tanami Desert. So Brother John Henwood, they said, "Please send someone to preach to us." Now, he wasn't a preacher. He just knew a little bit about the Bible. He knew a little bit about the Word of God. But let me tell you, he had a passion for souls. He had a passion for souls. So I remember him telling us the story. He said, "Well, where do you guys live?" These two elders from the Aboriginal community. He said, "Where do you guys live?" He said, "Just a bit down the road." So he thought, okay, he jumped in the car, he got them in the back, and he started driving there. After 50 Ks, Brother Otten, he said, "Are we there? Almost there yet?" "That's just a little bit further, just a little bit further." So they kept driving out in the desert. Hey, he said, "How much further are we going to go?" Because in the desert, there's no fuel, there's very few stops or little towns or anything. And after 500 kilometers, they finally pulled up at the camp called Nirupi, a tiny little Aboriginal settlement. Right there, a place called Nirupi, or it used to be called Wait Creek. And he moved up there to this remote Aboriginal community, 500 kilometers into the desert. He eventually moved there with his little caravan. If you look at the pictures more closely, you can see the little caravan. He lived in a little tin shack there, and he began to preach the gospel to whoever would listen. He was not an educated man. He wasn't even a Bible school graduate. He wasn't a licensed minister. You know what he was? He had two skills. He was a professional rabbit shooter and a mechanic. Not even a proper mechanic. He was a bush mechanic. A rabbit shooter and a bush mechanic. You know what? Many people would have said, "We see the naughtiness of your heart. You're just going for a look." John Henwood said, "Is there not a cause?" Little did he know that being a rabbit shooter was going to help, because that's how you're going to eat out there. Little did he know that being a bush mechanic was the way to go, because when you're stuck in the bush, you need to know how to fix your car. Without any hesitation, because he had a passion on his heart, he said, I'm going to go and live with the Warpri people. From 1979 until he died in 2005, he lived there. And there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people that came to know Jesus Christ because of one man, John Henwood. How many people got to meet John Henwood? Some people have. Brother Othon, Sister Sue, Brother David, a couple down the back there. Praise God. What an incredible man. Had his four-wheel drive, had his 22 Magnum shooting rabbits, telling people about Jesus. He endured isolation, loneliness, persecution, injury, car accidents. He even got bitten by a snake. He got bitten by a king brown snake out there. He got bitten. He was, I can't remember exactly how he got bitten by that, but they were so far from the hospital, 500 Ks from Alice Springs Hospital. That's the nearest help. And so what did it, Brother Othon and Sister Sue, will remember the story. The Aboriginals in that time, they have a way of being able to deal with the venom of a snake. They will go and lay down. And so he decided to do what they do. He went into his caravan and he laid down on his bed for 4 days and he prayed and he walked out healed from the snake bite. A king cobra, King Brown. King Browns. You got 30 minutes to live, you get bitten by a king brown snake. Same with the eastern brown snake. 30 minutes to live, and God healed him. He saw many miracles, signs and wonders. He saw the dead raised. There was one man there, and he had passed away. I can't even remember. I think his name was Tiger. Tiger had passed away, and he was they had interesting names. There was Brother Tiger. There was Brother Mosquito. There was a whole bunch of them. Yeah, Mosquito. You don't name your kid Mosquito, but they had Brother Mosquito. I remember that. As a kid, I can remember. But this old elder had passed away in the community. And in the Aboriginal community, when someone passes away, they go into a mourning. And the ladies, they would have professional mourners. So all the ladies would come together and they begin to mourn. And it's a little bit graphic. You can watch it watch YouTube historical things. They would take the rocks and they would begin to beat themselves with the rocks in the morning until there was blood. And the other thing is they would go and to save any arguing, this is probably a good thing for our days, to save any arguing over the possessions, they would go and they would burn everything that the person that died owned. That way no one can fight over anything. They had already burnt everything. The ladies were already mourning. But John Henwood stood there, sat beside his body and prayed until he started to feel the warmth come back in the body. Let me tell you, God did a miracle. God raised that man from the dead. But it wasn't just so he could have a miracle. The reason was, is because through that miracle, many would come to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people would be saved. That is the purpose of miracles, signs, and wonders. Not so you can just have a healed body, but so that you can preach the gospel. That's John Henwood. There's a book out. There's a documentary written about him. He didn't have any position, but he had a passion. There are more than three churches now out there in the desert. That's because he had a passion. Lives have been changed. Why? Because he was passionate about a purpose. Eternities have been changed. Why? He didn't have much, but he had a passion. David. We started talking about David. David was out as a shepherd boy. He's out there in the mountains with the sheep. He's stuck with the sheep. He's out there barefoot, sheep poo between his toes, wool all over him, dirt and dung. But you know what? He heard a story. That there was this uncircumcised Philistine who was standing up against the children of God. And so David didn't have any money. He didn't have a title. He didn't have any recognition. He didn't have a position. You know all he had? He was outraged. And he got passionate. And he went out to the battlefield and he said, is there not a cause? Let me tell you, when David found his cause, he found himself. And let me tell you, when you find your cause, you find yourself. And the road that took David from a shepherd boy to the king of Israel was that he was passionate about his purpose. Everyone say passion. God invested in David. Why? Because David was committed to the cause of God. If you want God to invest in you, if you want God to bless you, if you want Him to bless your life, if you want God to invest in you, then be about His passion. Be about souls. And as you pursue souls, as you witness to people about Jesus, let me tell you, the blessing of God will be on your life. If the musicians could come right now, I'm going to say something that may shock you, but we are as important as Calvary. We are as important as Calvary. You say, well, Pastor, how could we be as important as Calvary? There is no greater than the cross. There is no greater than the blood. There's no greater than our Savior who gave His life for us. I want to tell you today, you are as important as Calvary, because what is a message without a messenger? What worth is the message of the cross if nobody's going to tell it? What is the message without a messenger? We have the truth. We have the gospel. We have the message of hope. We have the message of salvation. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's up to us to tell somebody. Who's God going to use? He's going to use you, Brother Francis, Brother Leslie, Brother John, Brother Harry. He's going to use you, Brother Isaiah. He's going to use us. We are the messengers of the cross. We've got to be passionate about our purpose. Let's stand all across this place right now to be passionate about our purpose. You see, you can't have great passion without great pain. There's going to be pain along the way, but you can't have great passion without great pain. Yes, sometimes being passionate can make you feel uncomfortable. Even Jesus' passion, He had to endure the cross. It was the Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher, probably after Jesus, to ever have walked planet Earth. He had to wake up in the morning every day and say, I die daily. I die daily. It's not about my flesh. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my ease. It's not about my comfort. But I die daily. You see, power. Everybody say power. Power doesn't follow position. Power doesn't follow prestige. Power doesn't follow talent. Power doesn't follow knowledge. Power follows passion. And you want to have power with God, get on fire with a passion for God again. As you stand in this place, there are souls God has called you to reach. Family members that you need to share the gospel with. Neighbors that you haven't told your testimony to yet. Colleagues that you can invite to church. Invite them to your Bible study group. You know, see, we got to be passionate. And we must leave this place today with a fresh baptism of passion. Oh, God, help us to catch on fire again. Lord, help us to get a burden again for a lost and dying world. Lord, God, help our lives to be consumed with a passion. Help our schedules to be consumed with a passion. Lord, that You would use our talents for Your kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's word has gone forth today. Let us be passionate about our purpose, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be passionate about our purpose. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We are the body of Christ. We are called to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. God's going to lay someone on your heart right now. There's somebody right now. God's going to put them in your mind and in your heart to pray for that person. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, that You would give us an opportunity. Give us an opportunity to speak to somebody. Lord, that You would open up the door that we may share of the hope that we have in You, Jesus. Lord God, that You would give us the boldness to share our testimony. That You would give us the boldness to pray with somebody. That You'd give us the boldness to invite somebody to youth group that they may hear about You. Lord, that You would give us the boldness to invite somebody to our home fellowship group that they may hear the Word of God. Lord, You'd give us the boldness to invite somebody to church that they may hear the message of salvation. Lord God, help us to be reignited with a passion for the purpose of which You've called all of us, and that is souls. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands right now and let's just pray right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are your hands and feet. And if not us, then who? If not now, then when? If not here, Lord, then where? Lord God, for you have called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. Lord God, every single one of us, no matter where we are on our journey with you, Lord, you have called us to be disciples of you, and you have called us to go and to make disciples. Set a fire down in our souls. Lord, a fire that we cannot contain, that we cannot control. Fill us with a passion, oh God. Come on, church, begin to pray these prayers. Lord God, Lord, that lost loved one, Lord, that colleague, that person at school, Lord, you're going to use me, Lord Jesus, to reach them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.